so far away from your home that your parents had tolerated its presence, as long as he was not stupid enough to stir up trouble. Elena, a mere flicker of light, tugged Arobin from a deep sleep inside his former residence in Terrasen. As if in a trance, he shoved on his boots, his red hair gleaming in the light of dawn, mounted his horse, and set off into the woods. So young, her former master. Only a few years older than she was now. Arobin's horse paused as if an invisible hand had yanked its bridle, and the assassin scanned the raging river, the trees, as if looking for something he didn't even know was there. But there was Elena, invisible as sunlight, crouching in the reeds when Arobin's eyes fell upon the small, dirty figure unconscious on the riverbank. He leaped from his horse with feline grace, slinging off his cloak as he threw himself to his knees in the mud and felt for her breathing.
I knew what he was, what he'd likely do with you, what training you would receive. But it was better than dead, and if you could survive, if you could grow up strong, if you had the chance to reach adulthood, I thought, perhaps you could give those people who had wished and dreamed of a better world, at least give them a chance. Help them, before the debt was called in again.
Arobin's hands hesitated as he noticed the amulet of Orinth. He eased the amulet from around her neck and placed it in his pocket. Gently, he scooped her into his arms and carried her up the bank to his waiting horse.
You were so young, Elena said again, and more than the dreamers, more than the dead. I wanted to give you time, to at least know what it was to live.
Aelin rasped.
What was the price, Elena? What did they do to you for this?
Elena wrapped her arms around herself as the image faded, Arobin mounting his horse, Aelin in his arms. Mist swirled again.
When it is done,
Elena managed to say,
I go too. For the time I bought you, when this game is finished, my soul will be melted back into the darkness. I will not see Gavin or my children or my friends. I will be gone. Forever.
Did you know that before you?
Yes. They told me over and over, but I couldn't. I couldn't do it.
Aelin slid to her knees before the queen, took Elena's tear-stained face between her hands.
Nameless is my price,
Aelin said, her voice breaking. Elena nodded.
The mirror was just that. A mirror. A ploy to get you here so that you could understand everything we did.
Just a bit of metal and glass, Elena had said, when Aelin had summoned her in Skull's Bay.
But now you are here, and have seen. Now you comprehend the cost. To forge the lock anew. To put three keys back in the gate.
A mark glowed on Aelin's brow, heating her skin. The bastard mark of Brannan. The mark of the nameless.
Mala's blood must be spent. Your power must be spent. Every drop of magic, of blood. You are the cost to make a new lock, and seal the keys into the gate, to make the word gate whole.
Aelin said softly,
I know.
She had known for some time now, had been preparing for it as best she could, preparing things for the others. Aelin said to the queen,
I have two keys. If I can find the third,
Steal it from Erewhon.
Will you come with me?
Help me end it once and for all?
Will you come with me so I will not be alone?
Elena nodded, but whispered,
I'm sorry.
Aelin lowered her hands from the queen's face, took a deep, shuddering breath.
Why didn't you tell me from the start?
Behind them, she had the vague sense that Manon was quietly assessing.
You were barely climbing out of slavery, Elena said, hardly holding yourself together, trying so hard to pretend that you were still strong and whole. There was only so much I could do to guide you, nudge you along. The mirror was forged and hidden to one day show you all of this. In a way, I couldn't tell you. Not when I could only manage a few minutes at a time.
Why did you tell me to go to Wendlin? Maeve poses as great a threat as Erewhon. Glacier blue eyes met hers at last.
I know. Maeve has long wished to regain possession of the keys. My father believed it was for something other than conquest. Something darker. Worse. I don't know why she only began hunting for them once you arrived. But I sent you to Wendlin for the healing, and so you would find him. The one who had been waiting so long for you.
Aelin's heart cracked.
Rowan.
Elena nodded.
He was a voice in the void, a secret, silent dreamer. And so were his companions. But the Fey Prince, he was...
Aelin reined in her sob.
I know. I've known for a long time.
I wanted you to know that joy, too,
Elena whispered.
However briefly. I did,
Aelin managed to say.
Thank you.
Elena covered her face at those words, shuddering. But after a moment, she surveyed Aelin, then Manon, still silent and watching.
The Witch Mirror's power is fading. It will not hold you here for much longer. Please, let me show you what must be done, how to end it. You won't be able to see me after, but I will be with you. Until the very end, every step of the way, I will be with you.
Manon only put a hand on her sword, as Aelin swallowed and said,
Show me, then.
So Elena did. And when she was done, Aelin was silent. Manon was pacing, snarling softly. But Aelin did not fight it as Elena leaned in to kiss her brow, where that damning mark had been her whole life. A bit of chattel, branded for the slaughterhouse. Brannan's mark, the mark of the bastard born, the nameless. Nameless is my price. To buy them a future, she'd pay it. She'd done as much as she could to set things in motion, to ensure that once she was gone, help would still come. It was the only thing she could give them, her last gift to Terrison, to those she loved with her heart of wildfire. Elena stroked her cheek. Then the ancient queen and the mists were gone. Sunlight flooded them, blinding Aelin and Manon so violently that they hissed and slammed into each other. The brine of the sea, crash of nearby waves, and rustle of seagrasses greeted them. And beyond that, distantly, the clamor and bellowing of all-out war. They were on the outskirts of the marshes, upon the lip of the sea itself, the battle miles and miles out to sea. They must have traveled within the mist somehow. A soft female laugh slithered through the grass. Aelin knew that laugh. And knew that somehow, perhaps they had not traveled through the mists. But they had been placed here. By whatever forces were at work. Whatever gods watching. To stand in the sandy field before the turquoise sea. Dead guards in Briarcliff armor slaughtered upon the nearby dunes, still bleeding out. To stand before Queen Maeve of the Fae. Elide Lochan on her knees before her, with a Fae warrior's blade at her throat. Chapter 69. Adian had faced armies, faced death more times than he could count. But this? Even with what Rowan had done, the enemy ships still outnumbered them. The battling between ships had become too dangerous, the magic wielders too aware of Lysandra to allow her to attack beneath the waves. She was now fighting viciously beside Adian in ghost leopard form, taking down whatever Fae warriors tried to board their ship. Whatever soldiers made it through the shredding gauntlet of Rowan's and Dorian's magic. His father had left. Fenris and Lorcan, too. He'd last seen his father on the quarterdeck of one of the ships that had been under his command, a sword in each hand, the lion poised for the kill. And as if sensing Adian's gaze, a wall of golden light had wrapped around him. Adian wasn't stupid enough to demand Gavriel take it away, not as the shield shrank and shrank, until it covered Adian like a second skin. Minutes later, Gavriel was gone, vanished, but that magic shield remained. That had been the start of the sharp turn they'd taken, going back on the defensive, as sheer numbers and immortal versus mortal fighting took its toll on their fleet. He had no doubt Maeve had something to do with it, but that bitch wasn't his problem. No. His problem was the armada all around him. His problem was the fact that the enemy soldiers he engaged were highly trained and didn't go down easily. His problem was his sword arm ached, his shield was embedded with arrows and dented, and still more of those ships stretched away into the distance. He did not let himself think about Aelin, about where she was. His fey instincts pricked at the rumble of Rowan's and Dorian's magic surging up. Then snapping into the enemy flank. Ships broke in the wake of that power. Warriors drowned beneath the weight of their armor. Their own ship rocked back from the one they'd been engaging thanks to the flood of power. And Adian used the reprieve to whirl to Lysandra. Blood from his own wounds and ones he'd inflicted covered him, mixing with the sweat running down his skin. He said to the shifter,
"I want you to run."
Lysandra turned a fuzzy head toward him, pale green eyes narrowing slightly. Blood and gore dripped from her maw onto the wood planks. Adian held that gaze.
"You turn into a bird or a moth or a fish. I don't run and care. And you go. If we're about to fall, you run. That's an order."
She hissed, as if to say, "You don't give me orders."
"I technically outrank you," he said,
slashing his sword down his shield, to clear it of two protruding arrows as they again swung in toward another ship crammed full of well-rested Fae warriors.
"So you'll run, or I'll kick your ass in the afterworld."
Lysandra stalked up to him. A lesser man might have backed away from a predator that big prowling close. Some of his own soldiers did. But Adian held his ground as she rose on her back legs, those huge paws settling on his shoulders, and brought her bloodied feline face up to his. Her wet whiskers twitched. Lysandra leaned in and nuzzled his cheek, his neck. Then she trotted back to her place, blood splashing beneath her silent paws. When she deigned to glance his way, spitting blood onto the deck, Adian said softly,
"The next time, do that in your human form."
Her puffy tail just curled a bit in answer. But their ship rocked back toward their latest attacker, The temperature plummeted, either from Rowan or Dorian or one of the Whitethorn nobles, Adian couldn't tell. They'd been lucky that Maeve had brought a fleet whose magic wielders hailed mostly from Rowan's line. Adian braced himself, spreading apart his feet as wind and ice tore into the enemy lines. Fey soldiers, perhaps ones Rowan himself had commanded, screamed. But Rowan and Dorian struck relentlessly. Line after line, Rowan and Dorian blasted their power into Maeve's fleet. Yet more ships flooded past them, engaging Adian and the others. Ansel of Briarcliff held the left flank, and the lines remained steady, even if Maeve's armada still outnumbered them. The first Fey soldier who cleared the railing of their ship headed right for Lysandra. It was the last mistake the male made. She leaped, dodging past his guard, and closed her jaws around his neck. Bone crunched and blood sprayed. Adian leaped forward to engage the next soldier over the railing, cutting through the grappling hooks that arced and landed true. Adian loosed himself into a killing calm, an eye on the shifter, who took down soldier after soldier, his father's gold shield holding strong around her too. Death rained upon him. Adian did not let himself think about how many were left, how many Rowan and Dorian felled, the ruins of ships sinking around them, blood and flotsam choking the sea. So Adian kept killing, and killing, and killing. Dorian's breath burned his throat. His magic was sluggish, a headache pulsed at his temples, but he kept unleashing his power upon the enemy lines while soldiers fought and died around him. So many. So many trained warriors, a scant few of whom were blessed with magic, and had been wielding it to get past them. He didn't dare see how the others were faring. All he heard were roars and snarls of wrath, shrieks of dying people, and the crack of wood and the snap of rope. Clouds had formed and gathered above, blocking out the sun. His magic sang as it froze the life out of ships, out of soldiers, as it bathed in their death. But it still flagged. He'd lost track of how long it had been. Still they kept coming, and still Manon and Aelin did not return. Rowan held the front line, weapons angled, ready for any soldiers stupid enough to approach. But too many broke past their magic. Too many now steadily overwhelmed them. As soon as he thought it, Adian's bark of pain cut across the waves. There was a roar of rage that echoed it. Was Adian? The coppery tang of blood coated Dorian's mouth. The burnout. Another roar, deep and bellowing, cleaved the world. Dorian braced himself, rallying his magic perhaps for the last time. That roar sounded again, as a mighty shape shot down from the heavy clouds. A wyvern. A wyvern with shimmering wings. And behind it, descending upon the Fey fleet with wicked delight, flew 12 others. Chapter 70. Lysandra knew that roar. And then there was Abraxos, plunging from the heavy clouds, 12 other wyverns with riders behind him. Iron teeth witches. "Hold your fire!" Rowan bellowed from half a dozen ships away. At the archers who had trained their few remaining arrows on the golden-haired witch closest to Abraxos, her pale blue wyvern shrieking a war cry. The other witches and their wyverns unleashed hell upon the Fey, smashing through the converging lines, snapping grappling ropes, buying them a moment's reprieve. How they knew who to attack, what side to fight for. Abraxos and 11 others angled northward in one smooth movement, then plowed into the panicking enemy fleet. The golden-haired rider, however, swept for Lysandra's ship, her sky-blue wyvern gracefully landing on the prow. The witch was beautiful, a strip of black braided leather across her brow, and she called to none of them in particular. Where is Manon Blackbeak?
Who are you?
Adian demanded, his voice a rasp, but there was recognition in his eyes, as if remembering that day at Temis's temple. The witch grinned, revealing white teeth, but iron glinted at her fingertips. Asterin Blackbeak, at your service. She scanned the embattled ships. Where is Manon? Abraxos led—
It's a long story, but she's here, Adian shouted over the din.
Lysandra crept closer, sizing up the witch, the coven that was now wreaking havoc upon the Fey lines.
You and your 13 save our asses, witch, Adian said, and I'll tell you anything you damn want.
A wicked grin and an incline of her head. Then we shall clear the field for you. Then Asterin and the Wyvern soared up and blasted between the waves, spearing for where the others were fighting. At Asterin's approach, the Wyverns and riders reeled back, rising high into the air, falling into formation, a hammer about to strike. The Fae knew it. They began throwing up feeble shields, shooting wildly for them, their panic making their aim sloppy. But the Wyverns were covered in armor. Efficient, beautiful armor.
The 13 laughed at their enemy as they slammed into its southern flank.
Lysandra wished she had strength left to shift, one last time, to join them in that glorious destruction. The 13 herded the panicking ships between them, smashed them apart, wielding every weapon in their arsenal, wyverns, blades, iron teeth. What got past them received the brutal mercy of Rowan's and Dorian's magic, and what got past that magic. Lysandra found Adian's blood-splattered stare. The General Prince smirked in that insolent way of his, sending a thrill wilder than bloodlust through her.
We don't want the witches to make us look bad, do we?
Lysandra returned his smirk and lunged back into the fray. Not many more. Rowan's magic was strained to the breaking point, his panic a dull roaring in the back of his mind. But he kept attacking, kept swinging his blades at any that got past his wind and ice, or Dorian's own blasts of raw, unchecked power. Fenris, Lorcan, and Gavriel had bolted an hour or lifetimes ago, vanishing to wherever Maeve had no doubt summoned them. But the Armada held fast. Whoever Ansel of Briarcliff's men were, they weren't cowed by Fey warriors, and they were no strangers to bloodshed. Neither were Rolf's men. None of them ran. The 13 continued to wreak havoc on Maeve's panicking fleet. Asterin Blackbeak barked commands high above them, the 12 witches breaking the enemy lines with fierce, clever determination. If this was how one coven fought, then an army of them. Rowan gritted his teeth as the remaining ships decided to be smarter than their dead companions and began to peel away. If Maeve gave the order to retreat. Too bad. Too damn bad. He'd send her own ship down to the Inky Black himself. He gave Asterin a sharp whistle the next time she passed overhead, rallying her 13 again. She whistled back in confirmation. The 13 launched after the fleeing armada. The battle ebbed. Red waves laden with debris flowing past on the swift tide. Rowan gave the order to the captain to hold the lines, and deal with any stupidity from Maeve's armada if any ships decided not to turn tail. His legs trembling, his arms shaking so badly, he was afraid that if he let go of his weapons he wouldn't be able to pick them up again. Rowan shifted and soared high. His cousins had joined the 13 in their pursuit of the fleet now trying to run. He avoided the urge to count. But Rowan flew higher, scanning. There was one boat missing.
a boat he'd sailed on, worked on, fought on in past wars and journeys. Maeve's personal battleship, the Nightingale, was nowhere to be seen. Not within the retreating fleet now fending off the Whitethorn Royals and the 13. Not within the sinking hulks of ships now bleeding out in the water. Rowan's blood chilled. But he dove fast and hard for Adian and Lysandra's ship, where gore covered the deck so thickly it rippled as he shifted and sat down in it. Adian was covered in blood, both his own and others. Lysandra was purging a stomach full of it. Rowan managed to will his legs into maneuvering around fallen Fae. He did not look too closely at their faces.
"Is she back?"
Adian instantly demanded, wincing as he put weight on his thigh. Rowan surveyed his brother's wound. He'd have to heal him soon as his magic replenished. In a place like this, even Adian's Fae blood couldn't keep the infection away long.
"I don't know,"
Rowan said.
"Find her,"
Adian growled. He broke Rowan's stare only to watch Lysandra shift into her human form and ran an eye over the injuries that peppered her skin. Rowan's skin tightened over his bones. He had the feeling that the ground was about to slip from under his feet as Dorian appeared at the rail of the main deck, gaunt-faced and haggard, no doubt having used the last of his magic to propel a longboat over, and panted,
"The coast! Aelin is out by the coast, where we sent a lead. They all are."
That was miles away. How the hell had they gotten there?
"How do you know?"
Lysandra demanded, tying back her hair with bloody fingers.
"Because I can feel something out there," Dorian said. "Flame and shadow and death. Like Lorcan and Aelin and someone else. Someone ancient. Powerful."
Rowan braced himself for it. But he still wasn't ready for the pure terror when Dorian added,
"And female." Maeve had found them.
The battle had not been for any sort of victory or conquest, but a distraction, while Maeve slipped away to get the real prize. They'd never arrive fast enough. If he flew on his own, his magic already drained to the breaking point, he would be of little help. They stood a better chance. Aelin stood a better chance, if they were all there. Rowan whirled to the horizon behind them, to the wyverns destroying the remnants of the fleet. Rowing would take too long. His magic was gutted. But a wyvern, that might do.
Chapter 71. The Queen of the Fae was exactly as Aelin remembered. Swirling dark robes, a beautiful pale face beneath onyx hair, red lips set in a faint smile. No crown adorned her head, for all who breathed, even the dead who slumbered, would know her for what she was. Dreams and nightmares given form, the dark face of the moon, and kneeling before Maeve, a stone-faced sentry holding a blade to her bare throat. Elide trembled. Her guards, all men in Ansel's armor, had likely been killed before they could shout a warning. From the weapons that were only half out of their sheaths, they hadn't even had the chance to fight. Manon had gone still as death at the sight of Elide, her iron nails sliding free. Aelin forced a half-smile to her mouth, shoved her raw, bleeding heart into a box deep inside her chest. Not as impressive as Doranel, if you ask me, but at least a swamp really reflects your true nature, you know. It'll be a wonderful new home for you, definitely worth the cost of coming all this way to conquer it. At the edge of the hill that flowed down to the beach, a small party of Fae warriors monitored them. Male and female, all armed,
all strangers. A massive, elegant ship idled in the calm bay beyond. Maeve smiled slightly. What a joy to learn that your usual good spirits remain undimmed in such dark days. How could they not, when so many of your pretty males are in my company? Maeve cocked her head, her heavy curtain of dark hair sliding off a shoulder. And as if in answer, Lorkin appeared at the edge of the dunes, panting, wild-eyed, sword out. His focus, and horror Aelin realized, on Elide, on the sentry holding the blade against her white neck. Maeve gave a little smile to the warrior, but looked to Manon. With her attention elsewhere, Lorkin took up a place at Aelin's side, as if they were somehow allies in this, would fight back to back. Aelin didn't bother to say anything to him. Not as Maeve said to the witch, I know your face. That face remained cold and impassive. Let the girl go. A small, breathy laugh. Aelin's stomach clenched as that ancient focus shifted to Elide. Claimed by queen and witch and my second, it seems. Aelin tensed. She didn't think Lorkin was breathing beside her. Maeve toyed with a strand of Elide's limp hair. The Lady of Peranth shook. The girl who Lorkin Salvatore summoned me to save. That ripple of Lorkin's power the day Ansel's fleet had closed in. She'd known it was a summoning, the same way she'd summoned the Volg to Skull's Bay. She'd refused to immediately explain Ansel's presence, wanting to enjoy the surprise of it, and he had summoned Maeve's armada to take on what he'd believed to be an enemy fleet. To save Elide. Lorkin just said,
I'm sorry.
Aelin didn't know if it was to her or Elide, whose eyes now widened with outrage. But Aelin said, You think I didn't know? That I didn't take precautions? Lorkin's brows furrowed. Aelin shrugged. But Maeve went on. Lady Elide Lorkin, daughter of Cal and Marion Lorkin. No wonder the witch itches to retrieve you, if her bloodline runs in your veins. Manon snarled a warning. Aelin drawled to the Fae Queen. Well, you didn't drag your ancient carcass all the way here for nothing, so let's get on with it. What do you want for the girl? That adder's smile curled Maeve's lips again. Elide was trembling. Every bone, every pore was trembling in terror, at the immortal queen standing above her, at the guard's blade at her throat. The rest of the queen's escort remained distant, but it was to the escort that Lorkin kept glancing, his face tight, his own body near shaking with restrained wrath. This was the queen to whom he'd given his heart? This cold creature who looked at the world with mirthless eyes? Who had killed these soldiers without a blink of hesitation? The queen whom Lorkin had summoned for her. He'd brought Maeve to save her. Elide's breath turned sharp in her throat. He'd betrayed them. Betrayed Aelin for her. What should I demand as payment for the girl? Maeve mused, taking a few steps toward them, graceful as a moonbeam. Why doesn't my second tell me? So busy, Lorkin. You've been so, so busy these months. His voice was hoarse as he lowered his head.
I did it for you, Majesty.
Then where is my ring? Where are my keys? A ring. Elide was willing to bet it was the golden one on her own finger, hidden beneath her other hand as she clenched them before her. But Lorkin pointed his chin toward Aelin.
She has them. Two keys.
Cold clanged through a lead.
Lorkin?
The guard's blade twitched at her throat. Aelin only leveled a cool stare at Lorkin. He didn't look at either Aelin or Aelin, didn't so much acknowledge their existence as he went on.
Aelin has two, and probably has a good inkling where Erewhon hides the third.
Lorkin!
Aelin pleaded.
No.
No, he wasn't about to do this, about to betray them again.
Be quiet,
he growled at her. Maeve's gaze again drifted down to Aelin. The ancient, eternal darkness in it was smothering.
What familiarity you use when you speak his name, Lady of Peranth. What intimacy.
Aelin's little snort was her only warning sign. Don't you have better things to do than terrorize humans? Release the girl, and let's settle this the fun way. Flame danced at Aelin's fingertips.
No.
Her magic had been emptied, still hovered near burnout. But Aelin stepped forward, nudging Manon with the side of her body as she passed, forcing the witch to back away. Aelin grinned.
Wanna dance, Maeve?
But Aelin shot a cutting glance over her shoulder at Manon, as if to say, run. Grab Aelin the moment Maeve's guard is down, and run. Maeve returned Aelin's smile.
I don't think you'd be a suitable dance partner right now. Not when your magic is nearly depleted. Did you think my arrival was merely dependent upon Lorkin's summoning? Who do you think even whispered to Morath you were indeed down here? Of course, the fools didn't realize that when you had drained yourself on their armies, I'd be waiting. You were already exhausted after putting out the fires I had my armada ignite to tire you on Ilway's coast. It was a convenience that Lorkin gave your precise location, and saved me the energy of tracking you down myself. A trap. An enormous, wicked trap. To drain Aelin's power over days. Weeks. But Aelin lifted a brow. You brought an entire armada just to start a few fires? I brought an armada to see if you'd rise to the occasion, which, apparently, Prince Rowan has done.
Hope soared in Elide's chest, but then Maeve said,
the armada was a precaution, just in case the Ilken didn't arrive for you to wholly drain yourself. I figured a few hundred ships would make for good kindling until I was ready.
To sacrifice her own fleet, or part of it, to gain one prize. This was madness. The queen was utterly insane.
Do something,
Aelin hissed at Lorkin, at Manon.
Do something!
Neither of them responded. The flame around Aelin's fingers grew to encompass her hand, then her arm, as she said to the ancient queen,
all I hear is a lot of chit-chat.
Maeve glanced at her escort, and they stepped away, hauled Aelin with them, the blade still at her throat. Aelin said sharply to Manon,
get out of range.
The witch fell back, but her eyes were on the guard holding Aelin, gobbling down every detail she could.
You can't possibly hope to win, Maeve said, as if they were about to play cards.
At least we'll enjoy ourselves until the end, Aelin crooned back, flame now encasing her entirely.
Oh, I have no interest in killing you,
Maeve purred.
Then they exploded.
Flames slammed outward, red and golden, just as a wall of darkness lashed for Aelin. The impact shook the world. Even Manon was thrown on her ass. But Lorkin was already moving. The guard holding Elide showered her hair with blood as Lorkin slit his throat. The other two guards behind him died with a hatchet to the face, one after another. Elide surged up, her leg barking in pain, running from Manon on pure, blind instinct. But Lorkin gripped her by the collar of her tunic.
"Stupid fool,"
he snapped, and she clawed at him. "Lorkin, hold the girl," Maeve said quietly, not even looking toward them. "Don't get any stupid ideas about fleeing with her." He went utterly still, his hold tightening. Maeve and Aelin struck again. Light and darkness. Sand shuddered down the dunes. The waves rippled. Only now. Maeve had only dared attack Aelin now. Because Aelin at her full strength. Aelin could beat her. But Aelin nearly depleted of her power.
"Please,"
Elide begged Lorkin. But he held her firm, slave to the order Maeve had given, one eye on the battling queens, the other on the escorts who weren't foolish enough to approach after witnessing what he'd done to their companions.
"Run,"
Lorkin said in her ear.
"If you wish to live, run, Elide. Shove me off. Work around her command. Push me and run."
She would not. She'd sooner die than flee like a coward. Not when Aelin was going to the mat for all of them. When darkness devoured flame. And even Manon flinched as Aelin was slammed back. A paper-thin wall of flame kept that darkness from hitting home. A wall that wavered. Help. They needed help. Maeve lashed to the left, and Aelin threw up a hand, fire deflecting. Aelin didn't see the blow to the right. Elide screamed in warning, but too late. A whip of black sliced into Aelin. She went down. And Elide thought the impact of Aelin Galathinius's knees hitting the sand might have been the most horrible sound she'd ever heard. Maeve did not waste her advantage. Darkness poured down, pounding again and again. Aelin deflected, but it got past her. There was nothing Elide could do as Aelin screamed, as that dark ancient power struck her like a hammer over an anvil. Elide begged Manon, now mere feet away.
"Do something."
Manon ignored her, eyes fixed on the battle before them. Aelin crawled backward, blood sliding from her right nostril, dripping on her white shirt. Maeve advanced, the darkness swirling around her like a fell wind. Aelin tried to rise. Tried, but her legs had given out. The Queen of Terrasen panted, fire flickering like dying embers around her. Maeve pointed with a finger. A black whip, faster than Aelin's fire, lashed out, wrapped around her throat. Aelin gripped it, thrashing, her teeth bared, flame flaring over and over.
"Why don't you use the keys, Aelin?"
Maeve purred.
"Surely you'd win that way."
"Use them,"
Elide begged her.
"Use them."
But Aelin did not. The coil of darkness tightened around Aelin's throat. Flames sparked and died out. Then the darkness expanded, encompassing Aelin again and squeezing tight, squeezing until she was screaming, screaming in a way that Elide knew meant unfathomable agony. A low, vicious snarl rippled from nearby, the only warning as a massive wolf leaped through the seagrasses and shifted. Fenris. A heartbeat later, a mountain lion charged over a dune, beheld the scene, and shifted as well. Gavriel.
"Let her go,"
Fenris growled at the Dark Queen, advancing a step.
"Let her go now."
Maeve turned her head, that darkness still lashing Aelin.
Look who finally arrived. Another set of traitors.
She smoothed a wrinkle in her flowing gown.
What a valiant effort you made, Fenris, delaying your arrival on this beach for as long as you could withstand my summons.
She clicked her tongue.
Did you enjoy playing loyal subject while panting after the young Queen of Fire?
As if in answer, the darkness squeezed in tight, and Aelin screamed again.
Stop it!
Fenris snapped.
Maeve, please,
Gavriel said, exposing his palms to her.
Maeve, the queen crooned, not Majesty. Has the lion gone a bit feral? Perhaps too much time with his unchecked half-breed bastard.
Leave him out of this,
Gavriel said too softly. But Maeve let the darkness around Aelin part. She was curled on her side, bleeding from both nostrils now, more blood dribbling from her panting mouth. Fenris lunged for her. A wall of black slammed up between them.
I don't think so, Maeve crooned.
Aelin gasped for air, eyes glassy with pain. Eyes that slid to Elide's. Aelin's bloody chapped mouth formed the word again.
Run.
She would not. Could not. Aelin's arms shook as she tried to raise herself, and Elide knew there was no magic left. No fire left in the queen. Not one ember. And the only way Aelin could face this, accept this, was to go down swinging, like Marion had. Aelin's wet, rasping breaths were the only sound above the crashing waves behind them. Even the battle had gone quiet in the distance. Over. Or perhaps they were all dead. Manon still stood there. Still did not move. Elide begged her.
Please. Please.
Maeve smiled at the witch.
I have no quarrel with you, Blackbeak. Stay out of this, and you are free to go where you wish.
Please,
Elide pleaded. Manon's gold eyes were hard, cold. She nodded to Maeve.
Agreed.
Something in Elide's chest cleaved open. But Gavriel said from across their little circle,
Majesty, please, leave Aelin Galathinius to her own war here. Let us return home.
Home? Maeve asked. The black wall between Fenris and Aelin lowered, but the warrior did not try to cross. He just stared at Aelin, stared at her in that way Elide herself must be looking. He didn't break that stare until Maeve said to Gavriel,
Is Dorinel still your home?
Yes, Majesty,
Gavriel said calmly.
It is an honor to call it such.
Honor? Maeve mused. Yes, you and honor go hand in hand, don't they? But what of the honor of your vow, Gavriel?
I have kept my vow to you.
Did I or did I not tell you to execute Lorcan on sight?
There were circumstances that prevented it from happening. We tried.
Yet you failed. Am I not supposed to discipline my blood-bonded who fail me?
Gavriel lowered his head.
Of course. We will accept it. And I will also take on the punishment you intended for Aelin Galathinius.
Aelin lifted her head slightly, glazed eyes going wide. She tried to speak, but the words had been broken from her, her voice blown out from screaming. Elide knew the word the queen mouthed.
No. Not for her.
Elide wondered if Gavriel's sacrifice was not only for Aelin's sake, but for Adian's. So the son would not have to bear the pain of his queen being hurt.
Aelin Galathinius,
Maeve mused.
So much talk about Aelin Galathinius, the queen who was promised. Well, Gavriel, a vicious smile, if you're so invested in her court, why don't you join it?
Fenris tensed, preparing to lunge in front of the dark power for his friend. But Maeve said,
I sever the blood oath with you, Gavriel. Without honor, without good faith, you are dismissed from my service and stripped of your title.
You bitch, Fenris snapped, as Gavriel's breathing turned shallow.
Majesty, please,
Gavriel hissed, clapping a hand over his arm as invisible claws raked two lines down his skin, drawing blood that spilled into the grass. A similar mark appeared on Maeve's arm, her blood spilling.
It is done, she said simply. Let the world know you, a male of honor, have none, that you betrayed your queen for another, for a bastard get of yours.
Gabriel stumbled back, then collapsed in the sand, a hand shoved against his chest. Fenris snarled, his face more lupin than fey, but Maeve laughed softly.
Oh, you'd like me to do the same, wouldn't you, Fenris? But what greater punishment for the one who is a traitor to me in his very soul than to serve me forever?
Fenris hissed, his breath coming in ragged gulps, and Elide wondered if he'd leap upon the queen and try to kill her. But Maeve turned to Aelin and said,
Get up.
Aelin tried. Her body failed her. Maeve clicked her tongue. An invisible hand hauled Aelin to her feet. Pain-fogged eyes cleared, then filled with cold rage as Aelin took in the approaching queen. An assassin, Elide reminded herself. Aelin was an assassin, and if Maeve got close enough... But Maeve didn't. And those invisible hands cut the tethers on Aelin's sword belts. Goldrin thunked to the ground, then daggers slid from their sheaths.
So many weapons,
Maeve contemplated, as the invisible hands disarmed Aelin with brutal efficiency. Even blades hidden beneath clothes found their way out, slicing as they went. Blood bloomed beneath Aelin's shirt and pants.
Why did she stand there?
Gathering her strength, for one last strike. One last stand. Let the queen believe her broken.
Why?
Aelin rasped, buying herself time. Maeve towed a fallen dagger, the blade edged with Aelin's blood.
Why bother with you at all? Because I can't very well let you sacrifice yourself to forge a new lock, can I? Not when you already have what I want. And I have known for a very, very long time that you would give me what I seek, Aelin Galathinius, and have taken the steps toward ensuring that.
Aelin breathed.
What?
Maeve said,
Haven't you figured it out? Why I wanted your mother to bring you to me? Why I demanded such things of you this spring?
None of them dared move. Maeve snorted, a delicate feminine sound of triumph.
Brannan stole the keys from me, after I took them from the Vaug. They were mine, and he snatched them. And then he mated with that goddess of yours, breathing the fire into the bloodline, ensuring I would think hard before touching his land, his heirs. But all bloodlines fade. and I knew a time would come when Brannon's flames would dim to a flicker, and I'd be poised to strike.
Aelin sagged against the hands that held her up.
But in my dark power, I saw a glimmer of the future. I saw that Mala's power would surge again, and that you would lead me to the keys. Only you, the one Brannon left clues for, the one who could find all three. And I saw who you were, what you were. I saw who you loved. I saw your mate.
The sea breeze hissing through the grasses was the only sound.
What a powerhouse you two would be, you and Prince Rowan, and any offspring of that union.
A vicious smirk.
You and Rowan could rule this continent if you wished, but your children would be powerful enough to rule an empire that could sweep the world.
Aelin closed her eyes. The Fey males were shaking their heads slowly, not believing it.
I didn't know when you would be born, but when Prince Rowan Whitethorn came into this world, when he came of age and was the strongest purebred Fey male in my realm, you were still not there. And I knew what I would have to do.
To leash you. To break you to my will.
To hand over those keys without thought once you were strong and trained enough to acquire them.
Aelin's shoulders shook. Tears slid out past her closed eyes.
It was so easy to tug on the right psychic thread that day Rowan saw Lyria at the market, to shove him down that other path, to trick those instincts. A slight altering of fate.
Oh, gods.
Fenris breathed.
Maeve said, "So your mate was given to another. And I let him fall in love, let him get her with child, and then I broke him. No one ever asked how those enemy forces came to pass by his mountain home."
Aelin's knees gave out completely. Only the invisible hands kept her upright as she wept.
He took the blood oath without question. And I knew that whenever you were born, whenever you'd come of age, I'd ensure that your paths crossed, and you'd take one look at each other, and I'd have you by the throat. Anything I asked for, you'd give to me, even the keys. For your mate, you could do no less. You almost did that day in Doranel.
Slowly, Aelin slid her feet under herself again. The movement so pained that Aelin cringed. But Aelin lifted her head, lip curling back from her teeth.
I will kill you,
Aelin snarled at the Fey Queen.
That's what you said to Rowan after you met him, wasn't it?
Maeve's faint smile lingered.
I'd pushed and pushed your mother to bring you to me, so you could meet him, so I could have you at last when Rowan felt the bond. But she refused, and we know how well that turned out for her.
And during those 10 years afterward, I knew you were alive. Somewhere.
But when you came to me, when you and your mate looked at each other with only hate in your eyes, I'll admit I did not anticipate it. That I had broken Rowan Whitethorn so thoroughly that he did not recognize his own mate. That you were so broken by your own pain, you didn't notice either. And when the signs appeared, the Karanam bond washed away any suspicion on his part that you might be his. But not you. How long has it been, Aelin, since you realized he was your mate?
Aelin said nothing, her eyes churning with rage and grief and despair. Aelin whispered,
Leave her alone.
Lorkin's grip on her tightened in warning. Maeve ignored her.
Well, when did you know?